need to seriously consider the people in your life who have children 8 to 12 that would love to be at this baseball camp. Especially people that aren't attached to any church. Especially kids that maybe have never even thought about playing baseball. It's going to be a great, great thing. It is every year. 8 to 12. So be praying over that. Last week we started talking about sin. And we kind of laid a foundation last week as we talked about the struggle with sin. Sin being anything that's displeasing to God, whether it's things that we do that we're not supposed to do or things that we should have done that we didn't do, in your mind and in your heart. It is missing the mark. It's one of the definitions of it in the New Testament. The word hamartia means to miss the mark. One of the words for sin. When we miss the mark, that glorious ideal of Jesus who set the mark for us when He lived a perfect life. He is the glory of God revealed in the earth. And He showed that as He didn't commit one sin. Tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Now, we talked about the fact that this is something that touches everybody. It's the universal problem of man going back to the garden. Sin entered in to mankind there. And since that time, every child that's been born into the earth has been born into sin. So we are sinners by nature, because we're born as humans in this earth, and we're sinners by choice. So it's both and, it's not either or. Jesus has provided for us a way of escape. He has sacrificed His life on the cross where He became our substitute. Now today, regardless of where you are with your walk with the Lord, there's something in this message for you. If you've never received Jesus in your life today, there's something here for you. I invite you to receive Him as your Savior. If you've been walking with the Lord for years and are a mature Christian, one of the fathers or mothers in the faith, there's something here for you today. So I ask you to hang on here and listen closely. Sin has brought suffering into the earth. Have you seen the results of sin this week? Have you experienced that? Have you touched it? Have you felt it? Have you seen it? Have you observed it? Have you experienced it in your own life? Of course you have. If you're living, you're living in this world that has been marked by sin. Now, when Jesus came and died on the cross, He addressed our salvation in three tenses. And I want you to see this today, because it's going to be the framework by which I'm going to talk about some things in application for our lives. He addressed the penalty of sin. Remember that. The penalty of sin. Which is, what is the penalty for sin? Death and separation from God, eternal, everlasting separation from that. That is the penalty. That's what we call hell, to be away from Him forever. That penalty. So when He died on the cross, He died for how much of our sin? All of it. We established that last week. Now that's the penalty. That's the penalty of sin. And when you invite Jesus into your life, He forgives you. He makes you a new person. You're no longer the same person. You have a new nature. We talked about that a little bit last week. Now I'm going to race from the past and Him forgiving us of the penalty to the future. Because there's coming a time in the future when He is going to erase the presence of sin. Now, this penalty in the past, the doctrine that we talk about of salvation, another word for it is justification. We mentioned that word last week. He justifies it. In other words, remember this cute little expression. It's justify. It's just as if I had never sinned. Got it? He makes us clean, pure. Because you see, like the old chorus, you know, that says, there ain't going to be no sin up there up in my Father's house. So something's got to happen to us. We talked about it last week. So He erases the penalty of sin. He justifies us. That's that great doctrine. We talked about it in Romans last week. Now, we race forward, and Paul, he addresses this in the book of Romans as he talks about these great doctrines. You go to the future, and he's going to erase the presence of sin. Thereby the doctrine of glorification. We're going to live with Him in glory forever. He's going to set up His kingdom, and it's going to be perfect. No sin. Now, but I want to ask you, in the Oreo cookie that I've just described, where are you living today? We're living right here. So, as we're living, if we've received the justification of Jesus in our lives, that is, Jesus has come to live in our lives, He has forgiven us of our sin, past, present, and future, and we know in the future that He's going to erase sin altogether, that we're going to be with Him in glory forever. But where am I living right now? In the here and now, how can I live where sin is present around me, where sin is present in me? How can I do that? Point you to chapter 7 in the book of Romans. This doctrine we're talking about here is the doctrine of sanctification. Being made holy is what the word means. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Go read this till down to verse 1 of chapter 8. Follow along there as we read. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into the bondage of sin. Now I want you to hear this today. This is Paul talking autobiographically. And I've heard all sorts of commentators and all read their works where they've tried to do some gymnastics with this, to set Paul on this pedestal somewhere. Let me tell you, Paul's just like me and you. Feet of clay, just like it. And he struggled with sin. For if we know the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold in the bondage to sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For I'm not practicing what I'd like to do, but I'm doing the very thing that I hate. Have any of you experienced that in your Christian life? Something that's going on in your life and you're saying, no, I don't want to be doing that. All right. Verse 16. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law. Confessing the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. I want to do the right thing, but I'm not. It seems like I'm not capable of that. For the good I want to do, verse 19, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but the sin that dwells within me. Says that again. Verse 21. I find then a principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. Okay, now what he's describing here is this dichotomy. There's the old man, the residue of the old man, that's still present. Even though I have been forgiven of my sin and I have salvation, I've been justified, While I'm in this flesh, I am still battling with the prince of the power of the air, with the world system, and with sin in my own life. That battle is still going on. And any teacher that says that you have been delivered from that altogether and you've been put up on this plane and you're not going to be experienced that is lying to you. That is a lie. We are living in a battle for our lives. Now he gives us the power to fight the battle. Hang in here with me. Verse 22, I joyfully concur that the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body. This is that law of sin. Waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who, oh, miserable, another translation would be, oh, miserable man that I am, who set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. On the other, the flesh, the law of sin. There's no chapter division here in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't stop there. Because verse 1 of chapter 8 says, there's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who are walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, what is he saying here? What does he say? He's saying, when I got saved, he made me a new man. But I still have a residue of that old man, and there is this battle going on. Now, before I take you to Galatians chapter 3, John, put this up here. This comes from 1529. That would be the year. You ever heard this song? This great hymn of the faith? Who wrote this hymn of the faith? Martin Luther. A mighty fortress is our God. It's my favorite hymn. We believe that Luther had been reading the 46th Psalm. God's our refuge and strength. When he wrote this, I want you to see the battle that he describes right here. This is 1529. This is a guy that hammered his 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Chapel as he took on the Roman Church in that day with a new principle, and the principle is that the just shall live by faith, not by works. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper here amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Are there mortal ills prevailing? Deathly things going on in our world today? Follow me now. Follow me. Don't dismiss this because it's 500 years ago. It's just as fresh as the morning paper. For still our ancient foe, who's that? Who's our ancient foe? Satan himself. Does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great. What is he called, by the way? He's called the prince of the power of the air. And let me tell you, if you don't submit to God, under whose authority are you dwelling? His authority. His craft and power are great, armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Let me stop right there and say to you, he's applying Romans 7 right there. You can't fight the battle in your flesh against sin. You can't do it. Because what happens every time you try to do it? You screw it up. You mess it up because you don't have the power. But he has given you power. We'll get to that in just a moment. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, if you're trusting in your own strength, you're in trouble. Our striving would be losing. We'd be losing the battle. We're not the right man on our side. And who'd we say is the righteous one, the one who justifies us? Jesus. He's the right man. He's the man for the job. He's the one who was dispatched from heaven by the Father. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The man of God's own choosing. Discuss who that may be. Christ Jesus it is He. Lord Sabaoth His name. From age to age the same. And He must win the battle. It is a war going on right now. We see the battle going on between God and not God. All right, go on to the next one, John. And though this world with devils filled, let me say, ask you, have you seen the personification of evil? We see it over and over again. All you got to do is read the news. Why would a man? He's acting like he's possessed. Guess what? He is. Because there's a power that is beyond what humans can do. This evil that's in the earth should threaten to undo us. But we will not fear. And see, I hope you don't leave here today. Oh, Dusty's just trying to, pardon the French, scare the hell out of us. I know some of you are going to go and quote me today, and it's going to be on the internet and all that. But you're going to say, that's what he said. No, I'm telling you the good news. We will not fear, for God hath willed His will to triumph through us. He's got a greater will. He wants to. We saw it in Genesis last week. We talked about it. What did He say? The serpent, when He was given the curse on the serpent, He said the serpent was going to do what? Who is going to nip at your heel? And then what did He say that the seed of the woman, Jesus, what was going to do to the serpent? He was going to crush his head, kill him. Death, hell, the grave, put to death. Now hang on to that. His will triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. We already know where the devil's going. So does he, by the way. He's trying to change it, but he knows where he's going. One little word shall fail him. What did Jesus say? How did He address the devil? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." One word. And finally, that word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth, the Spirit and the gifts are ours. Hey, we're right here, remember? We're living right here in the present. Where is He giving His Holy Spirit? Right here. This is where we're living. You got this? You know, I'm like President Bush now. We're right in here. We're right in here. We're in this place right now. Right now. This is where I'm living. You know, people say, "Oh, preacher, you talk about things in the past. You talk about glorious things in the future. Where are you going to start talking about things where I live?" I'm talking about things where you live right now. And we're telling the truth about them. This is where we live, in the struggle with sin. But Jesus has given us a power. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power to live. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Boy, it's almost as if Martin Luther was inspired by the Holy Spirit, wasn't he, when he's writing this hymn. This boring old hymn. Through Him with us who with us sideth, let goods and kindred go. What does that mean? Stuff doesn't matter. This mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is how long? forever. Now turn quickly with me to Galatians chapter 3. You can read this later. I'm just going to pick out a couple of verses. Verse 1 says, O ye foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or the hearing by flesh? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, or are you now being perfected by the flesh? And then he'll come on down to verse 11. He says, now, that one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. Now hang in here with me. Some of us have bought in to heresy. Another word for the lie in our lives. We took this doctrine, I'm justified by faith. I've received Jesus. The penalty of sin has been erased from me. I'm going to be with Him forever. And we've said, okay, that's good for that part of my salvation path. I came by faith, but I've got to live the life by works. What's wrong with that? It's not what the Bible says. Paul was addressing the Galatian church because even Peter got caught up in this. Because what they were doing, there were a lot of, they were called, we can talk about it another day, but people called Judaizers that were up there. They were saying, yes, it's good you come to Jesus by faith, but now you got to start walking by the law. And that's not what Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 says. What does Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10 say? For by grace are you saved through faith. Come on. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man can boast. Okay, we're okay. We're still talking about the past. We're still talking about, I can't boast. I didn't get myself in right relationship with God because of what I did. It was Jesus that did it. But then he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works to glorify the Father which is in heaven. So even the works in our lives are a result of faith. Here's the cliff notes of it. The way Jesus got you here is the way He continues to work in your life. It is by faith. It is by faith. You have no power in you that is of you to defeat sin as you struggle with it in your life. But Jesus has given unto you the power of the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? He is the very Spirit of Jesus Himself who He dispatched to us. Go back and read Acts 2. The Spirit came. The gifts came upon the church and He has given us the power to live. So when I am tempted, and let me tell you, being tempted is not sin. Did you know that? That's another error. People say, well, you know, you're being tempted by that. That's sin in your life. No, that's wrong. Because if that were true, then Jesus would be a sinner. Because the Bible says Jesus was tempted in all points like as we. Got it? And he was sin-free. That's right. No sin in his life. So temptation is not a sin. It is yielding to temptation. And who will give you the power to say no when you need to say no? And who will give you the power to say yes when you need to say yes? Jesus, through His Holy Spirit. Now we struggle with all sorts of sin, don't we? In our lives. But I want you to know today, as it says in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation. For those of you that are living with shame from past sin, where the devil has told you, oh yeah, you might have gotten saved, but you're never going to be able to serve the Lord because look at your past. Well, let's take a little bit of inventory. The guy that's writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, let's take a little bit of inventory on him. What did Paul do? He was a murderer. Did God use him? Did God set him free? Did God give him power over sin? But yet in the midst of that, did he continue to struggle with sin and have to fight the battle? You better believe it. And we are fighting the battle today. Every day. It is spiritual warfare. Personally. In your life. What are you going to do about it? One more passage of Scripture, and I close with this. So how do I deal with the sin in my life? How do I deal with the things that I know that are problems for me, that sin? How do I deal with it? 1 John 1:9. Says this, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much is that? Now, positionally, He has forgiven me of all my sin, past, present, and future. But as I'm living it out, as the Scripture says, I'm letting my salvation be outworking as He is fashioning me in the image of Christ. Now, I know I've used this illustration many times before. Some of you hadn't heard it. But I want to sear it in your memory right now because it fits right here. Guy's walking down in a little small town, comes to this little shop. It's a kind of a dirty, old shop. In the window, he sees this exquisite carving of a dog. Never seen anything like that. The detail of it, all the, you know, the whiskers, the eyes, everything, the ear, the cut, everything is perfect. So he goes into the little shop. There's nobody there. It's a dusty old place. It's junky. Stuff is laying around. And there's one of those bales. Ding on the counter. So he hits it. And he sees from a back wall, a little fella puts his head up. And he said, yes, can I help you? He says, sir, you have this exquisite carving in your window there. And he's thinking, you know, I almost couldn't see it because the window was so dirty. He says, who did that? He said, oh, I did. He said, you're an artist. I've never seen anything like that before. You have a gift. He said, but can you tell me? How'd you do it? Get this. He reaches down and he picks up a block of wood about like this. He said, well, he said, I got this block of wood. And I knocked off everything that didn't look like a dog. I got this block of wood. I'm saved. I'm going to be with Him forever. But He is sanctifying me. He is making me holy. He is conforming me to His image. He wants me to look like... Remember, who am I to be? A little Christ in every detail to look like Him. So that I will reflect His glory. That's what He's doing in our lives. As we agree with the sin in our lives, if we confess. Confession just means, I agree, Jesus. I agree. I'm not going to argue with it. I'm not going to bring my Philadelphia attorney in here to be my advocate for you. Because listen, I've got the best advocate in the world. I've got the Holy Spirit who is telling me, no, Dusty, don't argue. You're guilty. You're guilty of sin and you need to agree with what God says. And so as I agree with the sin and I confess it as such, He says He applies that forgiveness. Do you know the feeling that you get when you've come into agreement with something you did wrong and you said, not only I'm sorry that I got caught, but please forgive me because I was wrong. Do you know the feeling I'm talking about? What is the universal feeling that everybody says that it feels like this happened? What happens? It feels like a weight was lifted off of me. You know why that's a universal feeling? Because it's true. Because that's what God does. He lifts off that weight of sin. And then, Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. A command. Allow Him to come and fill you. And by the way, for you the thing, well, you know, I can't remember every sin I've ever committed. Well, He's got you covered too. He's got me covered too. Because what does it say, 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin. And then He says what? And to cleanse us from how much? Unrighteousness. All of it, even the stuff that you can't remember right then, because He's all about the attitude of the heart. He's not counting nickels and noses. He's about your heart, and He honors that. Does this make sense to you? Let's pray. Just a moment, I'm going to open the altar. I'm going to invite you to, if you want to come and pray, if you want to come and spend some time with the Lord, you know, we're not about manipulation here or guilt trips or, you know, counting how many did this or that. That's not our style. But if you want to come to this altar today and do some business with God, you want to come and agree with the Lord about your sin and be cleansed today and apply the cleansing of His forgiveness in your life, then today is the day. Some of us are making some pretty deep ruts out there as we roll through life because of all the burdens we've been carrying. It's time to unload and be free. Jesus said, when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Lord, right now, I thank You for the truth of Your Word that is plain and simple. I thank You for those who have gone before us, Paul, Martin Luther, and many more saints of the faith who have shown us the way as they have reflected You, Lord Jesus. I'm asking you now, Lord, come to us and let us respond to you right now. Let us agree with you about our sin, whatever it is, Lord. That's between you and me. Lord, I'm asking you, come now, convince us of those places and let us experience the power of the filling of the Holy Spirit afresh and anew today. Ask our pastors and our life group leaders if they take their places. The altar's open if you'd like to come. This is your time. As we continue to pray, if you look this way, those of you who aren't in one of the prayer gatherings right now, has the Lord spoken to you today? Has He? Or not? Anybody? Get anything from the Lord? Okay. I just want to make sure because He sure spoke to me a lot today. I've been off the reservation a lot today. And the Lord's going to continue to do that. This is just beginning. This is the first day of the week. It's what Sunday is. It's the first day of the week. He wants to multiply what He has begun here today. Will you let Him? Who's the church? We're the church. Where's the church? Right here. Right here. So guess what? Anybody going to Walmart today? You going to Walmart? You're going to be the church there, Gary. Anybody going to Kmart? Going to the mall? You're going to a restaurant to eat? You're going to be the church there. So I want to send you out right now. And hey, we'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, his basket's up front and in the back. You can take care of getting it there. But let's give the Lord a hand today. Praise the Lord. I send you out in His name and His power. I choose to walk in the joy of the Lord.